And just like that, we are back here on Bobcat Radio. Should have done rock, paper, scissors for that.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
All right, so we were just talking about the Texas State softball team. We're just wrapping up our conversation about Game 2, that doubleheader, the 11-3 victory in which Ariel Ortiz homered Kendall Wiley. She had 2 hits and 3 RBIs. Taylor Webb also had 2 RBIs, and Courtney Kroll drew 3 walks. So just success all throughout the lineup there offensively either way. And Game 3 would prove to be a very, very interesting contest. And you said you were out there for that one?
I did. I got to call that one. I showed up at the park, and, you know, we don't get lineups till about 30 minutes before game time. So I'm honestly wondering, you know, who's going to pitch? We were talking about it a little bit before. Randy Rupp again pitched game 1. Game 2 went to Kaylee Garner, and game 3 went to both of them. To my surprise, Randy Rupp was back out. Well, I say my surprise, but you kind of expect that as well. Again, you have Taylor Webb, you have Ashley Wright, that could have gone. Taylor Webb's actually been in right field for that game. So they pitched her up, they started her out, you know. Looked pretty good in that first inning. They kind of started getting to her in that second one, and so Coach Woodard went ahead and pulled her out of there, put Kaylee Garner in, and Kaylee Garner just shut it down from there on out. It was great to see. I kind of think, you know, I didn't ask Coach Woodard about this, but I kind of think that was the plan all along, to maybe have Randy go half the game and then Kaylee Garner go the other half of the game. Just had to go to Garner in the a little bit earlier than expected. But props to both of those girls, and especially Kaylee Garner, man. Starting to get a special place in my heart for that girl. Can't lie to you. She has come on and pitched very, very well for the Bobcats this year.
She improves to 5-3 on the year. She came in to relieve in the third inning, pitched the rest of the game, only allowed 1 hit, struck out 3 batters. So not like daunting numbers, but still gets the win, saves the series. The Bobcats are able to come back from a 3-1 deficit. They tied the game in the 6th inning. In the 7th inning, Kelly Baker, she drew a walk. Ariel Ortiz would double to bring in Baker. Proved to be the game-winning hit. The Bobcats would ultimately win 4-3. Fairy tale stuff.
That Ariel Ortiz double was so close to going out of the park. Like, literally, it must have been 6 inches, like, below the top of that wall. And I was just like, that ball is back! That ball is back! It's going to go all off the wall!
But how high did your voice go?
It was pretty high. I was going like, oh,
you only get a few chances to do that, so you got to really take advantage.
Yeah. One thing that I want to point out, Taylor Webb in high school was very, very fundamental with the bat. You know, just a very, very fundamental hitter. Did very good. How did she look the other day with the bat? Because I haven't got a chance to see her yet, you know, in a position where she actually, you know, got to swing the bat.
I know she I want to say it was a double she hit that got on. I think she drew a walk as well. I think she went down swinging in one. Do you have the stats, man?
Yeah, she had a double in the 6th inning. That's actually what tied the game at 3 apiece. So that was a pretty key hit as well. So you talk about being fundamental, but also being a hit in clutch time.
We talked about it a little on the broadcast. Miracle Robinson joined me. So many different moving pieces for this team now as it goes on. Taylor Webb pitching, now playing outfield as well, and looked pretty decent out there. You brought Katie Dory as well. We were used to seeing her at catcher. She's played in the outfield as well. Ashley Wright was a pitcher, hasn't really had all the opportunities to get out there and do that, but she pinch runs a lot now for Courtney Coral and a couple of the other ones as well. It's an interesting mix when you look at what Coach Woodard is doing, but she's been doing it for quite some time, you know, 500 wins, and she knows, trust her when she knows what she's doing, and she's definitely getting the best out of her players, and they're giving it to her as well.
You could definitely say that, and with the 2-1 series win, they improved to 24-19, and I understand you want to talk a little bit about the softball standings right now, so
yeah,
tell us, Caleb.
Taking a look at the Sunbelt Conference, the Raging Cajuns, Louisiana Monroe, Troy, Texas State, Georgia State, and UTA, all of them clinch Sunbelt Conference Series berths, or the tournament bids, I guess I should really say, this week. Now, we're finally starting to get a picture of what the Sunbelt Conference is going to look like whenever it comes to here in San Marcos. I think we said May 6th through the 9th, somewhere right around there. Now, is there a team besides the Bobcats that you guys are looking? Okay, obviously Louisiana Lafayette. Okay, let's take that away. Take away the, you know, the number 3, whatever they are now, number 8. I don't know. They're still top 10. You know, take away that team though. But is there another team that, you know, that's in the Sunbelt Conference that you guys think has another chance? Because I have a team, but I just want to see if you guys, you know, have any dark horses that you guys are looking for.
I mean, we'll leave South Alabama out of it because they're doing pretty well, unless that's your team.
No, that's not
Georgia
my team.
Georgia State?
Nope.
That's who I would pick. Would be Georgia State. We saw them a little earlier in the year, 7-8. So they're getting in there. I think they've got a chance to make a little noise once they come to San Marcos to start playing in that Sun Belt Conference. So I'd keep my eye on them. They've got one or two good hitters, a couple of good pitchers in there as well. They've got an ace just like we do. So I would keep my eye on Georgia State.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good pick. The pick that I'm going to go with right here is going to be UT Arlington. Okay, they're way down at the bottom of the conference. Okay, they really are. They're at 7-8 in the conference, 26-19 overall. However, they have got, Sam Montez, one of their pitchers from Burleson. That's the only reason I know her, but she's from Burleson, threw no hitter last week, and has just been phenomenal for the UT Arlington Mavericks, and they win the games that they need to win is the thing, and I think that if there's going to be anybody, I'm going to say anybody besides the Bobcats that's going to be a dark horse in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, it's going to be UT Arlington Mavericks.
I don't have much to add to that, because we're talking about softball in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. What I will say, though, is coming up next for the Texas State softball team, they will host Houston Baptist on Wednesday right here in San Marcos at 6 o'clock. And Houston Baptist, they're not a very good baseball team or softball team, and they're not a very good road team. So just 2-11 on the road so far this year. And then after that, Bobcat softball team, they'll hit the road to play South Alabama in Mobile, Alabama. They have a doubleheader on Saturday, April 18th, and they'll finish out that series on Sunday, April 19th at 12 o'clock. I'm sure some of those games will be here on KTSW.
Yeah, probably. I know for sure the UTSA game tomorrow for the Bobcats will be right here on KTSW 89.9, the other side of radio. So, if you guys can't make it out to the game to see the Bobcats defeat the UTSA Dirty Bears.
Got some predictions here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. And you ask me what the Bobcats are going to go, I'm going to tell you like 40-0. It's just going to happen, and I'll...
Okay. Luke Shirley's winning the Heisman.
A little bit more reasonable question. Who do you guys think is going to be pitching against UTSA?
Oh. Man.
No, do they just keep...
We can rule out Humple, Griss,
Hallenquist,
obviously.
Those guys. What if I go Mazzacoli again and give him a shot? It's been a while, but...
Yeah. I don't think the Joe Powell is that far off anymore. I think that at the beginning of the year, he was way far off. You know, he was somebody that he came in and you're like, all right, how many runs are, like let's limit the amount of runs that you're going to give up. You know, and now it's to a point where it's like, okay, he's a fundamental guy there in the bullpen, you know, and I say fundamental a lot. You know, there's probably not that many fundamental people.
He's a good coach.
But, you know, he's a guy that he gets out and he gets ground ball outs, you know, and that's a guy that we could definitely use in the midweek. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's to the point now that I've seen so many pitchers that I wouldn't be surprised with anybody.
All right. I think that will just about wrap it up for the Texas State side of Bobcat Radio. I'm just going to jump in here and read off some headlines yesterday. I don't know if you guys are as into soccer as me and Ryan Marcus are, so I'll keep it short on the soccer talk today. At 2 o'clock, you can catch Liverpool playing Newcastle United. I'm wearing my Liverpool colors right now.
I totally can't verify that.
Yeah, so everyone out there knows where I am. This game is actually marketed as the hashtag guaranteed goals game because for the last 41 years, there hasn't been a 0-0 draw. And I know that's the biggest complaint from you guys about the drag about soccer. You can have 0-0 draws, but in this game...
I love soccer.
This is guaranteed... Guarantee goals here. And then just like a side story of this game, Jonas Gutierrez, he's one of Newcastle United's fullbacks. He'll be playing, and in May of 2013, he collided with another player, and he came out with a serious injury. And through all of his doctor's appointments and consultations, they found out that he had cancer. And it's just one of those stories. He was out of the game for at least a year. He came back in a game against Manchester United a few weeks ago, came off the bench as a sub, and the applause and it would give you goosebumps just hearing the support from the fans, the player who battled and won against cancer to come back and play in the Barclays Premier League. So just a really feel-good story. If you guys are into soccer, you should definitely check out this game again at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And just like that, we'll move on. Got some more basketball.
I have a question about that. I have a question about soccer. So it's like... I just started getting into it about a year ago, and it's very fun to watch. I get the nil-nil draw thing. I want to kind of liken it to baseball for just a little bit, because with baseball, it takes a long time. You know, sometimes the scoring is not quite there. And baseball has done things, you know, to kind of speed up the game. They're testing a few things, see if they can, you know, score a few more runs here and there, changing the seams on the baseball and stuff like that.
Much to the disappointment of David Ortiz.
Yeah, much to the disappointment. He did not like that. Cannot repeat the words he said on the radio about that. But soccer being such an it's a more international sport, more widely known and played than baseball. Is soccer doing anything to kind of change, you know, give scores more of a shot to get those goals up? Because as a casual fan, you know, I will watch the game, and if it goes 0-0, I'm fine with that. I expect that. But I'd much rather see, you know, end up winning 4-3 with somebody scoring in like the 89th minute or something to get me on board.
Yeah, you're definitely right. It is more exciting to see that occur. And what I will say is that they're fighting right now, you know, players' associations, owners, and referees to try to get instant replay into the game. So that's the one, like, technological advancement they just haven't brought on board with officiating. As far as officiating is concerned, they have installed the goal line technology, as you may know, where if the ball does cross the line completely, the referee's watch goes off and he signals a goal, and no matter what anybody says, it's a goal. They still haven't put that in intramural soccer yet, which I'm very upset about. we got denied a couple of goals that went through. And another note that I will say is, as far as the competition, though, there are no, like, when two bad teams play each other, there's desperation, because bad teams, they get relegated from their league, and they don't get a piece of the TV contract prize that is playing in the Premier League. So when you see, like, an 18th versus a 19th team, like, both of those teams are giving it everything. They're laying everything on the field, just trying to survive and play in the league. And that's something that you do get in soccer that you may miss in baseball when, I don't know, when two poor teams just play each other towards the end of the season. Or like in the NBA today, when two teams, like the Magic and the Knicks, go against each other. It's just, we're playing for a draft pick. Who cares?
Trying to lose, basically.
Yeah, I think the one thing that, like, soccer is really lacking, and you'll probably disagree with me here, but the one thing they're lacking is, like, offense. You know, it's a mainly defensive sport, you know, and it's, like, the one thing, maybe hockey is kind of the same thing, you know, it's mainly a defensive sport. However, people love to see the goalie make saves, but that's not what they really love to see. They love to see the slap shot that gets in. They love to see the kick from, 50 yards out that makes it in. Yeah, that's a long kick, but anyways.
It is. It happened, like, though, last week.
Yeah,
Charlie Adam.
It's, that's what they love to see, and soccer just doesn't have that game in, game out. You know, it's one of these things that a lot of other sports that we love day in, day out is every single game, there's a highlight. You know, there's a
yep.
highlight that you love. And in soccer, you might not get that, you know, every game that you watch.
Or that highlight will be hitting the post, or like the one good
yeah.
chance that they
right.
had. And that's one of the things that draws people to basketball over baseball these days, is the fact that you're watching back and forth action. 24-second shot clock means that stuff's happening every 20 seconds, like, no matter what. So
now, whenever I said that other sports are mainly offensive, I meant that there has to be some defense, because basketball has no defense.
Yeah,
there's no defense anymore.
It's getting pretty bad these days. The college basketball is the worst for this, because kids can't hit open jump shots, and the defense is also you get some pretty weird games, some pretty ugly box scores. But we'll move on. Another highlight or headline here is Jason Kidd becomes the first coach in NBA history to lead two franchises to the playoffs in his first season on their team as the head coach. He did it with the Nets a couple years ago, and the Milwaukee Bucks secured their playoff seed not too long ago. So, and this is 1 year removed from a 67-loss season for the Milwaukee Bucks. So,
Super skeptical when this first happened. You know, I know what Jason Kidd did as a player. He was a very good point guard in the NBA, played for a bunch of years. But for him to get the head coaching job of the Nets right out of the gate, like, wasn't ever an assistant coach, didn't coach in the D League, didn't coach in college, didn't train under anybody, was just a player that goes into it. And taking nothing away from the knowledge of his game, and yeah, maybe you know, maybe his age relation just coming right out of the NBA, he's able to relate to the players a little bit more, and maybe they play for him. Had a kind of a loaded team with the Nets. We'll go with that one. But now what he's doing in Milwaukee, yeah, they've got talented pieces, but it's not like they're rolling out Hall of Famers and All-Stars at positions of that game. So I will rescind my initial criticism and say he's got something going on, and maybe he can do this.
He is. He does have some pretty good pieces. They acquired Michael Carter Williams from Philadelphia. They have the Greek Freak Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, man.
You know,
he's
and he's a bright young player. So the Bucks, they'll be, I want to say, the sixth seed, to confirm that in a second, in the Wild NBA playoffs.
Are the Bucks going to be as bad as the Nets were whenever he left? You know what I mean? Okay, so assuming that Jason Kidd ever leaves, I assume he will, but whenever he does, are they going to be...
He's got a buddy in the front office, so I think he might be around Milwaukee for a while.
Okay.
But yeah.
Just a question.
The Nets, the Nets team was just a bunch of old former All Stars that, you know, were.
Oh, so you mean the Spurs?
Oh, dude, that's rough.
The Spurs are the number two seed in the West right now.
From the Bucks have building pieces, like you said, Mark Carter Williams and a couple of young guys in there as well. So I'm not saying he's building a dynasty over there, but I would not be surprised to see them hanging around, you know, that fifth through eighth seed for the next 2 or 3 years.
And when you look at the Eastern Conference standings, you can't make an argument. The Bucks are the sixth best team. They're better than Boston and Brooklyn and Indiana and Miami, without a doubt. But the East, it's pretty ugly. Milwaukee's 500. They're 40-40, and they're the sixth seed. In the West, that would be good for maybe 15.
Wait, so they're 500, they're making the playoffs.
This is every year.
Unbelievable. Boston, that's got to change, man.
Boston
that has got to change.
Yeah, Boston and Brooklyn are sub-500, 38-42 and 37-43, respectively. Although they've won 7 out of their last 3 games, both of them.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't count. Like,
they're on hot
streak. If you finish 500 and make the playoffs, are you kidding me?
Yep.
What? Yep.
It happens, man.
This is why I like baseball, man.
Another sort of headline here. In the West, in the race for the number 8 seed, Oklahoma City, another heartbreaking loss, but not despite Russell Westbrook's best efforts, once again, scoring a career-high 54 points with 9 rebounds, 8 assists. They still lost. They're still trailing New Orleans for that number 8 seed. They're out of the playoffs because of the tiebreaker with New Orleans, losing a couple games to them. What do you guys think? Are OKC, are they cracking the playoff ceiling, or are they out?
I don't think it matters. If they do, they're not going to go very far.
They're going to play Golden State.
Yeah, they're getting wiped anyway. And maybe you want it for your fans. And I know Russell Westbrook wants it just because he likes, you know, to show himself off here. And what he can do, and he's a very good point guard. You know that I think he could be the cornerstone of a franchise if you put good pieces around him. Looking at you, Lakers, which is where I think he's going to end up. And yeah, I think they've got a chance to get in. I don't know their schedule for the rest of the year, but would not surprise me to see Westbrook just put this team on his back, get them into the playoffs as the number 8 seed. Maybe they get a one win over Golden State as well, somehow, some way. I don't know. I mean, they're not beating Golden State. There's no doubt about that. But maybe they get one win and go down 4-1 or something like that, just to, you know, give himself and his ego a little boost, and for the city of Oklahoma, because let's be honest, Oklahoma doesn't have a lot of things going for them.
That's true.
Hey, they got the Oklahoma City Redhawks. You know, minor league baseball. It's fun sometimes. the one thing that I want to point out real quick right here, Russell Westbrook said in an interview not too long ago that he wants to be like a franchise player. He wants to stay in Oklahoma City the rest of his career. Now, if they continue to not make the playoffs, or continue to make the playoffs, you know, and then go out first round, is that somewhere that you guys think that he really wants to stay? Like, he said that, but is that really what he wants to do?
I mean, we've had his, you know, his audition tape for being a one-man and one-man NBA leader, and they've not won very many games, especially against plus 500 competition. So I don't know if Russell Westbrook can do it all on his own. He definitely needs someone else supporting him. And just like that, we're going to talk about an awesome show that appears on KTSW. It is very early in the morning. You will have to wake up to listen to this one. But it is hosted by some of the best that KTSW has to offer. Keaton, Ellis, and Haley, they'll wake you up the right way with the Morning Cup, Mondays and Wednesdays at 6 to 8 a.m. right here on KTSW. And I was just listening to one of their webisode things that's integrated in the Morning Cup about a bagel thief, and it is very, very interesting indeed.